between hearing from my mom, which yes, feels weird to say, but also awesome, and hearing from our younger fandom friend, Athletiger, who's going to be after, we thought we'd slot ourselves in the middle since that's where we fall and talk a little bit about our experience as sort of mid to late millennials in our average mid-30s, as we've experienced fandom and how we experience it now and how we think experiencing it in our 30s is different than in our last two decades that we've been in it.
So what do you think? I think for me, one of the biggest differences in being in like something in my 20s and something in my 30s is that I'm a whole lot more comfortable in saying what works for me and what doesn't. And understanding that I'm not making a value judgment at all on people who like different things than me. So I used to feel really bad if I didn't like the thing everybody else loved.
Mm.
Or I really loved the thing everybody else hated.
Right.
Like, controversial opinion. I don't really mind Endgame. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I have incredibly strong opinions about other things. Don't worry. I mean, you've heard them. But when I was 10 years ago, I would have never said that out loud. I would have told you all that I hated it just as much as the rest of, quote unquote, the rest of fandom did. Because I would be terrified to have my own opinion that somebody could hate me for.
Mm.
And in the last 10 years of my life, full stop, and so this has impacted how I enter into fandom. I'm a whole lot more just like, well, this is kind of what I like, and that's okay. Like, it's okay that I don't watch this show that everybody else watches. It's okay to say, actually, I don't really like watching movies that much. And when people are like, oh, but this one's so good, I'm a lot better at being like, not for me. Not for me. And that's okay. Like, even this week on the server, people were talking about Saber's fic, Higher Form of War, which I probably, and I love Saber with my whole being, will never read because it's over 300,000 words. And that is a lot for my little flame brain. And I just don't think, it's not because I don't love her. It's because I don't really read super long fics. And when I was younger, I would have been terrified to say that. And now I'm just like, hey, it's no judgment on her. It's no judgment on the art itself. It's just how I consume things. That's a major difference for me in how I interact with fandom at this phase of my life.
I think that it's a near universal experience that your 30s is the phase of letting go of really caring what other people think. Like, everyone who I've spoken to has said that the thing that changed for them as they went through the end of their 20s and into the beginning of their 30s was a really distinct and noticeable shift in the way that they worried about other people's perceptions of them. And so I think this is just a sub point of the seemingly inevitable process of, part of why it's so inevitable is that your 20s are inherently a phase of self-discovery. And it's, a lot of people are getting kicked out of the nest for the first time, getting their first jobs, their first careers, maybe their first homes, or at least their first spaces that are theirs alone, or they're starting to be someone who supports their family, takes care of older parents, this sort of thing just starts to come in. And so there's a lot of change and a lot of self-discovery and a lot of upheaval. And you also, especially if you go to university, but even in your first jobs as well, you spend a lot of time being told that you're not wrong or that you're wrong or that you don't know things yet or, learning new things or being adjusted. And that settles down in your late 20s and leads into the period of going, oh, you know what? There's a lot of things about myself I know now. And that inherently gives us the stability to say, and I'm comfortable with what those things are, and therefore I'm not going to apologize for them. And I think that that can make a big difference about how we approach fandom. And inevitably we end up with some cross-generational miscommunications, because if you're amongst a community outside of fandom where someone else saying they dislike something is a direct attack on you liking it, because that's high school for sure. If you don't fall in line, then you're opening yourself up to bullying, because kids are discovering, how to other people. And how to form groups and how to protect themselves from social responses. And so growing out of that is partially growing within yourself, but also experiencing community spaces that suit you and learning that everybody can have their own opinions and it's not a slight on your opinion for someone else to feel differently. And also that you are not being a slight on someone else's opinion by having your own. And you know, that kind of disagreement and liking different things is what keeps our community interesting and diverse and engaging and gives us things to talk about and Flame and I things to argue about. So like, we wouldn't want it any other way.
No, for sure. Yeah, the diversity of fandom in terms of opinions and viewpoints and tastes and loves are one of the reasons that we enjoy it and we do debate and we talk about it constantly and that's great.
And why we can have so many guests on this podcast to talk about different things.
Yeah, and that we want more and we're looking at the season 2 schedule and I already have more ideas than season 2 can contain, and so that's what's really exciting and all of that is so true. And when I mentioned to my best friend from college, who we will be friends for 20 years this fall, that we were doing this episode about fandom. And she remembers in college, we were for a very short amount of time, but passionate, very into Smallville.
Oh yeah.
And
I remember that peak.
Yeah. I was very into Tom Welling's abs. I just need to be honest.
That's valid.
And I really wanted him and Chloe to get together. And I don't know why, can't tell you why. Because I wanted Lana with Lex. It just worked for me.
I don't know any of these people, so I'll just nod along.
I'm saying this for the benefit of other people.
I'm here too, though.
Okay. Well, you talk a lot about Buffy and I don't always know what you're talking about with them.
All right. Well, when you stop talking about Smallville, I'll talk about Buffy.
Okay. Anyway, I was really into it for like a hot minute and so was my best friend. And if there had been this kind of experience, I think I probably would have fallen deeply into a Smallville hole. But that's when I taught her about fanfic and I didn't remember that happened.
Oh, she remembers though. Like that's a distinct
memory. She has a distinct memory of me talking to her about fanfiction and me telling her I wrote it.
Oh.
And so I don't have a memory of telling anybody that I wrote it at all prior to like 2 years ago. Or no, like I told people I wrote it in when I wrote the High School Musical one and I got shamed for it like crap. And so that's why it took me forever to tell people about it when I started writing Marvel. But so I told her, and I don't remember this, and I'm actually kind of like amazed that I don't, because she said that she asked to read some of my stuff. And I was like, well, I must have blocked this, so you must have hated it. And we got in this whole thing about it, jokingly. And she was saying that as somebody in her, like, she was afraid to get into fandom because she was so married to canon.
Mm.
And she hadn't come to the idea yet. We were 20, so she was 22 and I was 21. She hadn't come to the idea yet that you could transform works as a matter of respect.
Oh, okay. It was like, something's wrong with this, so I'm going to fix it. She thought that was the universal perspective.
Correct. And okay. She, even if she thought something was wrong with it, she also had the attitude of like, right, but I'm not the creator. It's not my characters, or I'm not the professional here. I can't do that.
Right.
And so we were, and that's evolved now. And like Harry Potter, she's not in fandom necessarily, but like, she definitely loves the idea of transformative works. And for her, the real tipping point was Harry Potter, right. And fan art in particular. Because I was like, you understand that people selling like iPhone cases on Etsy is transformative works, right? Like right. That's it too. And so she and I were talking a couple of nights ago about this particular episode. And she said that for her, that would be one of the things too. And she asked if I agreed. And I said, well, obviously I've always thought that fucking around with something is a way to express love with
right.
it. So for me, it's not as much, but I wonder if that's the case for some other people we know, if that's like, once you hit a certain point in your development, whether that's in your late 20s or 30s or whenever it is. And it's like, no, I don't have to, this isn't sacrosanct.
Right.
Or if that was like a time in history, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't have a lot of the memories I do have of like experiencing fandom feelings with friends before the internet was really the fundamental way that it was done. I had two friends I specifically remember, one in elementary school and one in high school. And I remember like printing off on paper all of the lyrics to the Once More With Feeling, the Buffy musical episode where they sing the whole thing. And we printed off all the lyrics to all the songs. And we used to walk to school and home from school. We would sing the songs and we had the lyrics there in case we forgot them. And that was like my active fandomy thing at the time. I was only reading a little bit of fanfic and it had never occurred to me I could write it. And we were like playing make-believe and stuff like that based on that canon. And singing the songs to appreciate it and learning the episode guides. Like there was definitely many phases in my life when I could write out the whole episode list for all of the seasons of shows that I loved. And the like move into it being transformative, I don't really remember that process. And perhaps listening to my mom just talking about her feelings, you can see that like I was raised by that woman. So like, it was instilled within me as a concept already that this was a thing and that it was a big thing. And that if you were interested, you could go get more content. And it was like, oh yeah. Okay, cool. Awesome. So that's really interesting I would love to hear if people had to sort of accept their desire for transformative works. If the initial reaction was a negative one and it took a process and self-reflection or exposure to the community or something to get over a natural disinclination to transform works.
And I have no idea how universal that is, but it was such a marked statement for me that like, I didn't know I was allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's been formative in my relationship with canons. And I've talked to Sol about this because she also expressed something similar in that the shift for her was Harry Potter, and that she could understand that the movies were different than the books and they were separate entities entirely.
Right. Yeah.
And that was the first thing for her personally where she loved both things equally. And so when I was explaining to her like why I really got into Marvel, which again, something she supports, but is like she has seen all the movies but would never participate in transformative works.
Right.
Like when I talked to her about it and I said, right, okay, so the Marvel canon is great. The MCU canon is great. I'm sure there are many, many comics canons that are great. I am not like, even as much as I joke about the fact that I wrote that first fic because I had to fix the canon, which is, I still felt about that. I didn't think that there was necessarily like something so wrong that the whole MCU was invalid. I just liked my version of it better.
Yeah.
And that doesn't, to like 20-year-old Flame, that would not have sounded like two different statements.
Right.
Yeah. But I understand that like things can stand on their own now, and transformative works have given me that gift, because like there is no canon beyond, like there is no even canonical fanon. Like you cannot ask people what are the 10 fics that absolutely everybody needs to read. We are all going to have opinions. There's going to be a couple that are going to end up on there, but it's not quite as universal as I think a Discord server thinks it is. And so like we just kind of get to keep doing this. And I say all of that and it may seem really apparent to you guys, but for me, that's been a huge part too of how I see my life in my 30s, in that I get to say, okay, here is this person's definition of life. And here is this person's interaction with this world. And I see things so completely differently, but that doesn't mean that theirs is invalid. And that doesn't mean that is wrong. And that attitude, both in my offline life and in my online life, is not something I would have been able to embrace in earlier selves.
Hmm.
And so that's kind of one of the reasons that I'm so big into Kimedo and our first rule of fandom being do no harm and then do you, is a mark of my age, to be completely honest, and the amount of life I have lived and how much more I know I have to live.
Yeah.
But I feel like in my 30s, it's this really significant thing of like, I have lived a lot. Like statistically, I've potentially lived half my life. And with the meat sack, I've got maybe over half my life. Womp womp, not to be depressing, but like that's kind of life. I've statistically potentially lived over half my life. I still have more to go for sure, but I have enough in my bones to know some things for absolute sure, and to know even more the things I don't care as much about.
Mm.
To know even more the things that I hold loosely.
There's even off, there's this sort of feeling that grows in you when you deal with a community like this of being able to say, I don't need to form an opinion on that. I don't care.
No.
And I think that that's something that takes some time to develop, the ability to say, this social media or this post or this fic or this art or whatever is demanding that I form an opinion on something, and I am choosing not to. And you can just not decide how you feel about it and continue on with your life. And it turns out that that is okay.
That is okay. Or you can just remain completely indifferent to it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even have to be as apt as deciding not to have an opinion on it. Like, there was something that was a huge conversation in a server I was in a couple days ago, and I was scrolling through and I was like, I don't really have any feelings about this either way. I'm just going to keep scrolling until they change the subject.
Yeah. And that's okay.
And I didn't feel the need to insert myself and change the subject or to form an opinion. I just kind of kept going.
Yeah.
And that's life too. Like, there are things that I will, hills I will die on. A lot less than you probably think based on how I speak on this podcast. But like true hills I will die on. But honestly, a whole lot more of life is like, oh, well, maybe I might be wrong.
Yeah.
And that's been for me something in my 30s.
Yeah, for me too. So what are some of the downsides to being in your 30s in fandom?
Oh, Jesus. I don't... Knowing fandom history in your bones and forgetting that not everybody else does.
Yeah, yeah. Or like even to the extreme of inevitably things shift and change with time, and you still have the snapshot or the definition or whatever that is from an earlier time that, you know, the youths are not using it that way anymore. And that can be an adjustment.
Yeah, time. I mean, God, if I had been this active in fandom in college, like y'all would have never gotten rid of me.
Oh my God, I know. I had so much more time in university.
So much more time. Yeah, I mean, I schedule every hour of my day most of the time, and I schedule in fandom time.
Yeah.
And that sucks because, like, it just sucks because it brings me so much joy, and I love my job and you love your job. Like, we are not people that are fundamentally miserable all the time. And we're very blessed that way, but like still most days I'd rather be sitting around shooting the shit about Steve and Tony.
Yeah. Yeah. That gets hard. And just, I find that even though I was doing potentially more creative work in university, I was doing a lot like on-demand creative work, like having to write essays and write stories and do all these kinds of things for my courses and like read and think critically about things. I didn't experience the same feeling of creative drain that I get when I've drained myself doing my job. So if my work exhausts me, even if it was not creative work that I was doing, then it prevents me from being able to create as comfortably, and the words dry up and I stare at a cursor for hours. Whereas when I was in university and I was, I guess, stimulating those parts of my brain, but I was less often fully exhausting myself, it was easier for me to make words happen and just stay. And like back then I was writing all original fiction, but I didn't feel creatively drained as a consequence of non-creative activity. And in my 30s, I definitely feel that. And part of that is just that, like, I hate to break this to anyone who's under 30, but like you legitimately notice a physical difference. I noticed mine in 27, it started. Yeah. You're like, oh, there went the peak of my body, and it is only downhill from here. Regardless of how high that peak was for you, your body is now degenerating permanently. And you can tell.
Oh so, my God.
Everything's a little bit sore. Everything's a little bit tired, or you sleep a little bit worse. Or like if you miss a night's sleep, you feel it for longer. And it, I know it gets worse. I know we're just at the tip of that iceberg. But I think like around 27 was the first time I slammed into that wall. And I was like, oh, I'm no longer regenerating my parts. I am using them up. How nice.
Yeah, I was 30. I was 30 living in international student housing with a whole lot of Irish 21-year-olds. Let me tell you how very quickly I realized that I was excessively old.
Yeah, you just can't take it like you used to.
Oh, I need so much more water, and I have so much more chin hair than I used to have. Like so much more. Like, why is there so much more chin hair? I don't get it.
Yeah. And like, if you have pizza for dinner, you're paying a price for that. You feel kind of shitty the next day, or at least I do.
God's sake, no, I just eat pizza so much. My body just assumes that it will run on it.
Yeah, my body cannot handle with the same laissez-faire attitude, continuously poor diet than it could when I was 21 and living off Cheetos or whatever it was I was eating.
Oh man, my 20s were Hot Pockets. It's like all I ate in my 20s.
Oh yeah.
Hot Pockets and Jelly Bellies. Not my really. I eat best Jelly Bellies. I promise.
You want to charm my mom, because I know you guys are BFFs now. Buy her Jelly Bellies. You
totally are.
She fucking loves them. Like, it's her thing.
Do I have to mail her some?
I mean, she can get them very easily here. So it would be like I know you like these, a special, maybe a hostess gift if you come visit. Bring your Jelly Bellies.
When I come, because this will all end and I will come and we will record a live episode with special guest Frisk.
yeah, whether we want her to be or not.
Exactly.
She's a special guest on a lot of these episodes. You guys just don't know it. I'm trying to silently fend her off while she's trying to get her head bedded.
Aw, Frisky. The last thing, and this sounds like this is one of those things that might sound really, really bitchy. And so I apologize ahead of time if it is. But one of the harder things for me is when I see people who are younger than me going through something so, so hard. And I know on the other side of it that like they will survive it, because we all have. Or people stressing over things that like I objectively know just because I have this I have a different chronological point of view. Like they're panicking over things that are, it feels to me like people are spending a lot of emotional energy on things they don't have to.
Yeah.
But I also know that being in my early 20s was a lot about spending emotional energy on things I didn't have to, because I had to learn the lesson.
Yeah. So, I think it's similar to the bravery conversation where it's like,
yeah,
you have to go through that shit so that you know you don't need to go through that shit again later. So it's inevitable. It does get better.
It does get better. And like holding my tongue sometimes is really hard, and not being the like, well, as the old lady here.
Yeah.
But I feel it a lot, because like so many bright and beautiful and bubbly people are chatting away in the chat about something that is so obviously very stressful to them. And I'm just like sitting there watching it being like, there is one of the world's easiest solutions to this for you.
I wish I could gift you with how little I would care if I were in that situation.
Like, or I wish I could gift you with like this thing that I can, like this mindset shift I have a feeling will help.
Yeah. But the truth is we all got there through hard work, and you and I are going to 10 years from now be like, oh, why did that bother me when I was 30? So.
Oh yeah. I'm sure Saber laughs at us a lot. So like, I'm sure. And because like there,
I know for a fact my mom laughs at me because she does it out loud to my face.
I'm sure my mother does it to other people. My mother is far too afraid of confrontation to do it to my face, but my mentors certainly do. So I'm good. I still get my regular doses of humility, everybody. Don't worry. But I think in that sounds both kind of maybe bitchy and also like a little bit ridiculous, but I really do want to help. And when my ways of helping come across as like condescending, I know I overstepped. I know I did, but it's like, I'll sit on my hands sometimes and be like, I can help.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing for me. And that probably sounds like so what are your weaknesses? I care so much. it's really not. It is something that I've noticed. And I certainly didn't feel that way like when I was younger. I was a youth worker in my 20s. And so I spent a lot of my life telling teenagers, you know, life lessons. And so maybe it's just bred in me and this is a thing that I have to get used to, but that's hard for me, as I feel like I could help. And
it's not always clear which are the things that are learned from experience and which are the things that can be rushed along by the right assistance. So it's a process being at the older end of things. Like, we are now approaching the older end of the average. Obviously there are many people in fandom older than us, but for the active we take part in, we're shifting towards the older range of active people. And moving into that area involves learning when you can be helpful, when it's, you know, just a matter of being like, I lived through that. It sucks. I'm sorry you're living through it now, but at least I'm proof that you can get through it. Cause I did too.
Yeah. Here's my battle scars, but they're scars. And they weren't mortal wounds. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's the learning that we are going to do in this decade of our lives.
Maybe. Is there anything else that I didn't say that you find really difficult?
No, I think that sums it up. I mean, being the like rude bitchy one here, I can straight up say that sometimes I find it harder to communicate with other generations. I mean, I love Gen Z TikTok humor, though some of it I don't get, and I do miss Vine deeply, but I do sometimes feel that generational divide, but then also not old enough to be like, get off my lawn. So I'm like, I'm older than you, but I'm not that much older than you. But like, am I justified in being annoyed by the fact that we're struggling to communicate? So, you know, that's just me. And I predict it'll only get worse as I get older. So enjoy me now while you can, because I'm not getting any nicer.
Yeah, we both definitely have get off my lawn moments, I think.
Yeah.
In life, just in general. I mean, soulmate and I talk about it even in our work, in our daily lives. Like, she'll see something at the store or something, and she's like, I just wanted to start screaming, get off my lawn. I'm like, oh my God, may us become Clint Eastwood. But it's hard.
I think what sums it up in an analogy that doesn't point anything at fandom itself is, I used to live in an area, my city is a university, it's a small city and it has a university in it that is a large portion of the population during the year. And there's an area of town that is the university and it's all students. And I used to live not in that area, but in an area where that was where I went. I drove there to go grocery shopping. So the grocery store that I shopped in was populated by students. However, they were all gone during the summer. So during the summer, I would happily grocery shop. In September, all the freshmen would move in, and literally none of them had been taught how to grocery shop on their own. Totally unfair of me to expect. I'm sure I was like this when I was first learning how to grocery shop, but I am usually not in a great place when I'm in a grocery store because I want to get it done fast and I want to get out, and I'm usually hungry. And the amount of milling about, holding lettuce, looking confused, you know, just parking carts right across the middle of the aisle, not knowing how to line up or where to line up, just utter loss in some of their eyes as they try to figure out how to, you know, create food from nothing. There were times when I was that person being like, I am going to ram your cart with my cart. And like, I get it. They just need to learn how to grocery shop, and everyone needs to learn how to grocery shop. Sometimes I want to ram people in fandom with my cart because I don't want to watch them go through the same learning process that I had to struggle through already, because it was hard enough doing it once.
So. Yeah. I would say, like, as the college professory person on this podcast, I would say your mileage with the patience of people who have not had your life always will vary.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, I mean, when I taught at a university in a very similar situation where there was like an area of town that was entirely the college, I would absolutely never, like, you could not have paid me money to shop where they all shopped.
Yeah.
And I was paid money to teach them. Because yeah, it's just not how I do. It's not how I grocery shop. And I am much less crabby about it than you are.
You're much less crabby about almost everything than I am.
Almost everything.
I don't think people realize when they meet us.
That is entirely true. Yes. Of the Laurel and Hardiness of our little cohort here, I am the not crabby one.
If I could have afforded to shop at the grocery store that the students couldn't have afforded to shop at, I would have, but I was in the same like earnings bracket as them. So unfortunately we were forced to all be there.
Ooh, I was in the situation where it was like, there was a really good chain where I was. And so the prices were the same everywhere. I just had to drive a little further.
Oh no. My city's pretty small.
Yeah, this was a little bit of a bigger area of the world. But yeah, and it's the same, like, and I'll say this to you, sometimes it's not even generations. Like sometimes it's literally like, I joke that generations are other countries sometimes, like they do things differently there. Like the past is a different country. They did things differently. Mm. But I, like when I lived in Northern Ireland, like I know I talk and I wax poetic and cause I loved it. I loved so much of it. I still wish I could live there. All of those kind of things. But oh, sweet Jesus Christ on a cracker. Were there times that I wanted to ram my cart metaphorically into people. So some of being an adult too is learning when you can and cannot do that, because there is power sometimes in ramming your cart into people and saying like, just get out of my way. Like, let me do this and get out of my way. It's a rough thing. Life is hard and none of us get out of it alive. Hashtag life is hard. But I think one of the great gifts that fandom can give us is this multi-generational space. And I do love talking to people that are older than me and hearing about, I mean, obviously my new BFF, Ferret's mom, but also other people. I love hanging out with all of y'all who are younger than me, the majority of you. And I love learning what that life is like. I love learning what life as a 22-year-old in a completely different country is like. I love hearing about being a mom in a completely different country. I love hearing about a mom and being a mom in my country, or what it's like being someone who's transitioning genders in a country whose health insurance doesn't allow that you would honor us with that trust and honor us with that story and trust that pain. I love all of that. I love all of those pieces of fandom. I am somebody who can love them and live them a lot easier and healthier now that I am older than I could when I was younger. And so I am glad that I can give you all this much more emotionally healthy version of who I am than I could have 15 years ago.
Yeah. And I've definitely, for all the cart ramming I say I want to do, like at the end of the day, I've definitely learned more and loved more in these other generations than I've wanted to ram my cart. So obviously overall, the access of fandom to other people is one of its great joys. And I think one of the things I'm most thankful for that we have Discord now is how accessible that has become to me. And I know not everyone's on Discord, but for me personally, Discord has been the gateway into so many lives and so many hearts and so many experiences that really have helped me grow. And I'm sure that if I weren't in this community space, my 30s would look a lot different. So I'm taking that to the bank and I am going to cruise on into my 40s and see what happens in the next decade.
And speaking of people that we learned things from and who are gracious enough to share their stories, next up, let's hear from our designated baby. just kidding. She's not really a baby, but we called her that in our chats planning this.